Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Guys, we have a new tier on our Patreon, and it includes exclusive bonus content. Listen up. Right now, for just $5, you get the Honeydew a day early, you get it ad-free, and you get a full bonus episode of the Honeydew with Y'all, where listeners highlight their lowlights, and it's going to stay that way. $5. And for just $3 more, you're also going to get the way back a day early and ad-free, but that's not all. You'll get exclusive bonus content with the guests, some fun segments, maybe some games, and we'd love to get you guys involved. And that's all for only $3 more. And there's no censorship on any of the Patreon episodes. Subscribe now.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpants Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, and Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Starting this episode, like I start all of them, by saying thank you. Thank you for whatever you do to support anything I do. I don't care what it is, a shirt, a damn email, telling a friend, whatever. Thank you very much. And if you got to have more, then you got to check out the Patreon. Look, we have a brand new tier on our Patreon where you're getting the way back a day early, ad-free, no censorship and all that, and exclusive bonus content that you're not getting anywhere else, and it's only for an extra $3. All right, go check it out. And if you have a story that has to be heard for the Honeydew with y'all, then please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. All right, that's the biz, you guys know. Oh, you know what? No, let me tell you something else. Thank you for your support of the way back, and make sure you subscribe to that audio feed. Go listen as well, all right? That's the biz. You guys know what we do here. We highlight the lowlights, and I always say that these are the stories behind the storytellers. I'm very excited to have this guest on today. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Adrian Appalucci. Welcome to the Honeydew Princess. Violating our guest, girl.
She's actually good, though. She You're loves talking you. About sad stuff, and then she's just making you therapy happy. Dog, she's a therapy yeah. dog. Thank
Welcome
you for
to the
having
show.
Me.
Yeah, for sure.
This is the way to my heart, a dog.
I'm glad. Some people, you know, are indifferent or allergic or whatever, but she's,
I think I'm
she's
allergic.
A lover.
I'm allergic. Like, I got an allergy test done, and I'm very allergic to cats and somewhat allergic to dogs, but I've had them my whole life.
So what happens? You just get itchy, but are you in danger of dying?
No. I'm not okay. gonna die. I'm not that lucky. I'm not gonna die.
Don't look at me, Princess. She said.
I'm not gonna die.
So before we jump into anything we're gonna talk about, promote everything you'd like, please. All of it.
Go watch The Dark Queen on Netflix. Follow me on Instagram, Adrian Appalucci. Let's see. Oh, go. I'm going to be on the road. I'm going to be touring a little bit with Ari, and then I'm going to also be doing my own dates. Ari produced the special and Louis C.K. directed it. So I'm going to be going on the road with both of them a bit.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
That's really it. Just like follow me.
Do you have a podcast?
I don't have a podcast. Okay. I used to, but we did it for years, me and Sarah Talamash. She's super funny, and it just like never took off. So, but those episodes are somewhere. They're pretty funny.
All right. So your last name, Appalucci, what is that? Is it Italian?
That's Italian,
it is, yeah. And why with an I? Why does it start with an I?
I have no idea.
You've never asked anybody in the family?
Who am I gonna ask?
Why the
hell? All my family's dead. There's no one to even ask.
You're like, just like.
There's nobody to ask.
We have like one person left
in
there.
My mom.
Halfway in the grave, yeah.
It's my mom and my sister.
Is this your dad's name, though, Appalucci?
So I was, he adopted me when I was like one. So my biological father's name is, his last name is like a terrible last name, but it's also Italian.
It is also Italian. Okay, so let's talk about that. You're adopted at one?
is it really adoption? Like, my mom was like still there. I always feel like when your biological father's not there, it's not really adoption, because you have your mom still.
You feel like adoption should be no parents and then someone
adoption
takes you.
Adoption is like you're in front of a firehouse and like nobody wanted you. Like, I still had one person that wanted me, so it doesn't seem like I was adopted.
Well, even if you're adopted, somebody wants you. You know what I mean? You could have one person who wants you and they adopt you.
Your original owners did not.
Yeah.
They both.
But you had one
and
not two.
I see.
What happened to dad?
The biological father? Oh, yeah. She's going. She's had enough of me. So my biological father, I don't know. My mom just like, they were very young when they had me. And I think.
So they weren't married or anything like that?
They were married. Oh, he was a drug addict, I want to say. He was on methadone. But that's usually like to get you off heroin. I think he was just addicted to that. My mom said she just had it. Like, I don't know. I guess he was a drug addict. They were very young.
How old was your mom when she had you? Do you know?
I think like 22. Yeah, it's young. It was pretty young. I mean, back then it's not that young.
Have you ever met your biological dad?
I did.
You did?
I met him in 2017.
For the first time.
I guess when I was a kid, I met him one time. Do you remember, what was that store, Caldor's?
Oh, my God. Fuck. Yeah. So I remember the fucking the orange and brown fucking arch, like rainbow or whatever.
Yeah, it was a weird rainbow that was Caldor, not rainbow color.
Yeah, of course.
So
that's great.
I was probably like 12 or 13, mm-hmm. and I was there with my mom, and he happened to be in there, and she was like, oh, that's your biological father.
Come on. That's how you met your dad in Caldor?
I didn't actually even go up to him. I just like saw him and she told me that.
The first time you laid eyes on your biological dad.
Right. I mean, when I was a baby, he was in my life a bit. But yeah. That was like the first time I saw him.
What was that like?
I don't know. I was so young.
You don't remember being like, what? That's my dad? So then he obviously lived local.
He lived like a mile from me my whole life.
This blows me away. That's what our mom did too. Left the family and moved like right over there.
That's so crazy.
And you run into him. In places.
I only ran into him there.
That one time.
But then when I was a kid, so I have a bunch of half siblings.
From him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess I was going for like physical therapy or something, and that girl, one of my half siblings, worked there. And she knew who I was at first, and I didn't realize it till after. And like, I was like, oh my God, I think we're related. It was such a weird thing. But she had a sister and a brother from her mom's first marriage. And then that daughter from that marriage is jealous of me. So even at like 50 years old, she's like jealous of me. And she made a whole, it's like crazy how we met. And he acted like he couldn't be around me. He had to like sneak around to meet me. I was like, this is creepy.
Are you his only child with your mom?
Yeah.
You are. Okay. And how many other ones does he have? Do you even know?
I think he has five with his second wife, yeah.
Okay.
And then he has two from her first marriage that I guess he adopted, maybe.
Okay. So then that's wild. He adopted two kids and he doesn't get
maybe
crazy.
Maybe
that ever fuck with you, like the thing of that? Like, so this guy adopted two kids.
My mom
go
also
sit with her.
Come on.
Go see her.
I'll bring her closer. There you go.
There you go.
What was I saying?
I was asking about your biological father adopting
I think
two
he
kids,
adopted
but-
them. I don't know. But also, I think my mom made it that he wasn't going to be in my life. My mom's brother is a Hell's Angel. And think he had done something to where, because I remember he wouldn't give her the welfare check at one point, and somebody like threatened him, and then she got the welfare check. But like, I think it was kind of like give up the rights or whatever. So even when I met him, my mom thought it was, she was worried about what he was going to say. Like, you know, like, your mom made me do this or.
Did he see you guys? Do you know if he saw you?
When in CBS?
Caldor.
Oh, Caldor Jizz. No, he definitely saw us.
He did.
Yeah, he definitely saw us. We were like, I was here and he was like there. It wasn't that far.
I mean, I don't know. Everyone's different. But if I'm seeing my kid, I don't know if I could just not say anything and go home that day and be like.
Yeah. He was with, I think, his kid, one of his kids. It was just like a standoff.
So then at one, your stepdad comes in.
Yeah.
Is he your stepfather? Is that what you call consider him your dad?
My dad. Okay. Yeah, because he adopted me. He was like the only person that was in my life. So yeah, I consider him my dad. And he adopted me when I was like, I think around one.
Okay, so he comes in at one and he's your dad now. And
right.
Does he marry your mom and do they have kids after that?
They have my sister, yeah.
They do.
Okay. And then my mom, I think, had like one or two miscarriages, which like I can't imagine having all those kids. We didn't have a lot of money. So it's like crazy to have had miscarriage. What are you doing? There's like not any money.
And where are you growing up in the Bronx?
Yeah, we lived in the Bronx my whole life.
Okay, so yeah, that is crazy. Dad stayed in the Bronx.
My biological father? Yeah, yeah, he was like a mile away. I am like, what's funny is I almost picked one of those high schools that he lived right by, and nobody told me like you might run into your half sister, because I didn't know about this till I was much older.
Oh, so you could end up going to high school.
I could
with
end up
siblings.
Going to high school. Yeah, he lived like two blocks from this other high school that I was considering maybe going to.
That's wild.
That is wild.
And yep. you don't have a like mom doesn't say, all right, we're gonna do you go see him. This it's just like this is dad.
This is it.
This is me. This is our family here.
Right. I think they thought it would be better for me, and maybe it was. I don't know.
And did you get along with your father?
Yeah,
he a good dude.
He's a good guy. I mean, he's like a gambler, so he's like very emotionally unavailable. So those are like the guys I'm going after.
What kind of gambler? Is he online or is he like Vegas, tables, craps, like that
OTB,
stuff?
Betting on football games, stuff like that.
Horses?
He loved the horses. Yeah. I used to go, me and my sister would go with him all the time to the OTB.
Oh, he would go.
And that's when you would like smoke inside. So you come home as like a seven-year-old and you just smell like the bar. Remember, like, you used to be able to smoke in clubs and stuff?
Yeah.
So you come home, you just, like, smell like a
bar. I will never forget when they stopped one night. All of us went home, and I was like, I could wear this tomorrow. I don't stink. Like, my hair doesn't smell like everyone else's cigarettes and shit. Remember, your hair would fucking stink.
That was what I think made you hungover. It was just smelling like
smoke.
That's
a good
smoke.
Point. I never even thought of that.
Smelling like the smoke.
Ingesting all that secondhand smoke.
When you wake up the next day, and you're like, ugh, it smells so disgusting. Like from a night out of like the bar or whatever.
Okay, so tell me about growing up with mom and dad there.
I mean, it's weird because I feel like I had like a good childhood and I didn't realize it wasn't that great till I started going to therapy.
What did you find out? What did you learn that wasn't that great?
I mean, I really did think I had a good childhood because nobody like sexually abused me as a child. Like that was my bar. And then when I told my therapist that, he's like, you were so ignored. And I was like, oh.
No one touched me. Yet.
Yeah, that was like, I guess
I
my childhood.
I got beat a lot.
But it was just that's the worst.
That. Yeah.
The fault aspect's the worst. So if that didn't happen, I had to be pretty good. And then he's like, no, you were like super ignored. And I was like, I started thinking back to when you're like, yeah, man, I was by myself a lot. So me and my sister, both of us.
So were you guys latchkey kids? You're coming home after school, taking care of yourselves, that sort of thing?
My mom didn't even work. So it's crazy that she would just like let us get ready in the morning. And I'm sure she has a bit of depression, but like she would just kind of sleep. I always thought it was weird. I guess high school is a bit further. It's probably like a mile walk. And in like the freezing cold weather, we're just walking to school when she has a car. And she's like,
nah.
And she's home.
Wait. Mm-hmm. She had a car and is not working and wouldn't drive you to school?
No.
You like, would you think don't at least she'd be like, I'm only doing that shit in the winter and bad weather. Everything else.
No, she wasn't even doing that. It's not like she was making us breakfast. She was doing nothing. So that's the things where you're like, oh, yeah, I guess that's not great. That's not like a great mom.
But your dad's out there working and doing his thing? Or
yeah, he's working. Yeah, he's a mailman.
You got to do something to afford a gambling addiction.
But it's weird because I have a joke about it, like how you can't be a gambler and a mailman. Like, you're just not making enough money. So that's probably why we never had any money.
Did he ever hit one big? Do you ever remember him being excited about one?
And buying dinner or something? Like
not even that.
No,
just even if he just got the money.
I assume he had to win at some point. Otherwise, you can't keep losing. But it wasn't like enough where we got something from it, like a new car or anything. So he might have won. But I was really young when he was doing it too.
Yeah.
So I don't remember.
And so I know we talked before you came in, you said he had passed. How old were you when he passed?
I think it was like 22.
Okay. Was that the first time you lost someone in your family or someone really close to you?
I guess I lost grandparents. My grandparents all, I had all of them until like eighth grade and then they all died like one a year.
Damn.
Yeah. I went from having all my grandparents to like none of them in 2 or 3 years.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. I was really only close with my mother's mother.
You were?
Yeah. And I think she might have died first. I don't remember now. But yeah, like when my dad died, it was weird because we had such a small family already that his death felt bigger because there was like now 25% of our, you know, it was me, my sister, my mom, and him. And that was weird too because like they had just gotten this house. Like they got a house because his parents had died. So now all of us are in this house. My mother doesn't know how to do anything. She's not working. So we're like, somebody's got to get married and like find somebody to do. Somebody's got to have someone fix shit in the house. And none of us know how to do anything. We couldn't even put the lawnmower on.
The lawnmower on.
Oh, God. I was like, somebody's got to do something here, man. So that's what my mom did.
That's nice, though. So he got you up to into this house and everything. You had a little yard and all that.
We had a little yard, yeah.
And he didn't even get to enjoy it.
I guess he did for a couple of years, maybe 4 years, something like that.
And now he's gone.
He's gone.
And the three of you were there.
But my mom bounced back quick.
She did.
Yeah.
I was about to say, what happened?
He died in July, and by like Thanksgiving, some dude was bringing us baskets.
I thought
baskets.
You were going to say she got a job.
Her job is getting a guy. My mother has never worked. She had been waitress, but she never had.
November, he's coming around. You got to have somebody for Christmas in the fold already.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. We needed stuff done in the house. And nobody knew how to do anything.
Was he a good dude? Do you remember him?
I do remember him. He wasn't bad. He was like a bad alcoholic, but he disguised it until like he moved in. That's crazy to not know you're with an alcoholic.
It was only a few months.
True. But like I've dated guys and like right away I'm like, this guy's an alcoholic. But like I think he drank when he went home. He didn't really drink with my mom. Mm-hmm. So I don't think she knew until like they moved in together. And then she just
couldn't hide it. Yeah.
And like he had a good job and, you know, he was a functioning alcoholic. So
how'd your dad pass away?
Brain cancer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's tough.
I had a friend whose dad passed away, and I would go visit him and watch that go down. It was awful.
It's awful. And then, like, my family's so trashy that, like, we kind of would do it. Like, one time we snuck a dog into the hospital because we were like, this maybe will make my dad happy. And, like, he was so out of it by then, too. Like, he was like, tell my uncle I said thanks, but no thanks. And we're like, what are you talking about?
He's just saying, right?
His uncle had raised dogs. So I guess that's what he equated it to. And then he had like a.
Well, his brain is still working a little bit.
It's working, though. But like yeah. a little bit.
Yeah, it's misfiring.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, he thought the sink was
But no thanks is funny.
It's though. Very funny. Yeah. He thought like the sink was a pizza box. So he's like, you know, equating things, but like, mm-hmm. it's not what it is. But we brought this dog in the hospital and he had an aide at the time because he was a fall risk. And she went ballistic on us that we brought this dog in because she's like, now I have to change everything. I mean, you don't bring a puppy into the hospital.
It's funny. You don't. But then the senior homes do want them.
The
maybe
senior
it's because
those
people are already on their way out. Maybe they don't care.
Maybe. Or like they're not necessarily sick. They're just old.
That's a great point, too.
Yeah. I don't know. I would want to be with dogs. But, yeah, she was just like, she went nuts on us.
Did he, was he in care the whole time or did he ever make it home?
He never came back home.
He never did.
No. So we.
How long from the time that they told him he had it till he passed? Was it pretty quick?
He went into the hospital in January and then he died, I think, like 4th of July weekend.
Damn.
Yeah.
And do you know why he went originally?
So he had gotten a promotion at work and he kept forgetting stuff. And we just thought he was nervous about.
That's how it started.
Yeah. You just
doesn't that freak you out? I forget shit a lot.
Yeah. But he also, his personality changed. Okay. He was a lot more like emotionally available. Like I forget. I was on so many podcasts now where like, you know, sometimes people get a brain tumor and they become a pedophile. Like he just became emotionally
that
open.
That happens?
Yes.
I've never.
someone will get like a tumor on their brain or something and it hits something where like that makes
them. I get that it changes them as a person, yes. But you're telling me it can do that?
If it can make him emotionally.
I'd say kill me now.
If it can make him emotionally available, I'm sure it can make someone a pedophile. This is a guy that was so emotionally shut down.
You're saying the brain tumor made him a better person?
It made him a better person. It was empathetic. A short window. It was a short-lived window, but he was.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's what we needed the whole time.
Oh, my God. If you could just live with that on there. It's
just
interesting.
The right pressure.
That's it. Mm-hmm. If you could just open the brain up and go, if I could just push right there.
Whatever that is.
All of a sudden, you turned it on and you're magic.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was weird. Like
you were like, whoa, this guy's. Turned a corner.
It was just weird because he always wanted to gamble, so he never really wanted to do anything else. I remember one time telling him, like, come out with me and my boyfriend at the time. And he's like, okay. But, like, he would have never done that before. And then one time he picked up a prescription for me and, like, he paid for the copay for one and, like, he would never do that. Because all his money was for gambling.
Mm.
So, like, that's weird also.
Did he stop gambling?
Yeah, because he died.
I meant when he got the fucking.
I don't know. I don't think
did he gamble right up till he could then?
Not in the hospital. But like, yeah, I'm sure he was probably gambling.
Imagine trying to have to kick that addiction too. Cold
while
turkey.
You're dying.
Just while you're dying, you can't even have fun and try to win some money or something.
I think your brain is just so fried. Like once he did radiation, he was like a different person.
Yeah, I remember my friend's dad, he was diagnosed. And they always made fun of him because any injury he had, he was, you know, a hypochondriac with everything. So if he sliced his wrist for just.
He's going to die.
His jugular. You know, my neck, it's my jugular. Here, right. I'm going to die. Anything. And so he started having these weird headaches and he kept saying it's a tumor. But. For life.
Yeah, because you're like, you're always saying something's wrong.
And this time it was. That's crazy. This time it really was. And it took them quick, too. And a lot of problems, too, are when they, you know, the surgeon told us, you cut a person's head open more than once. It's not great.
We couldn't even get it removed. It was not in a good place.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so they were able to get some out of his, but opening his head up, he got an infection from whatever in the room. Yeah.
Wow.
So then they got to open you up again, and you're like, fuck. And then it just spiraled bad.
Yeah, you're like such a different person. It's weird. Like from day to day, it's like such a big change. I think the radiation, like, I don't think it extended his life. And I don't know that that was the right choice now. But like at that time, you don't know what you're really doing.
Do you think he would have got, I mean, that's the other thing too.
He would have died eventually.
Right. I mean, what are you going to get 2 more months of misery and bills that you're going to make people pay in your family? I'm just going to check out.
Maybe, yeah. And then you're also just going there every day, and it's like you're hanging out with somebody that's not really all there. And
how'd your mom handle it? I mean,
November, I'd say it was like 2 months later. November is when we got those Thanksgiving baskets. This guy comes over, he's got big baskets for us. I'm like, this, and me and my sister.
Is it like a turkey basket?
It was a huge basket.
Two of them.
One for me, one for my sister. He was working hard to get on our side. And we were just so mad at him. But we needed that guy.
Yeah.
We needed him to like pay the bills.
How long was, well, your dad's there from basically year one till when? When was
like
he?
Like 22.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's hell yeah.
That's a pretty long time.
And your mom's, that's your her husband for 22 years. And
right.
Boom, man, we got to get somebody here. Business is business.
Business is business.
Yeah,
and then she marries James. And they were together for about 10 years. But then they also lived together when they got divorced.
Oh, they just stayed living together?
Yeah, I think my mom was upstairs and maybe he was downstairs. And then they were still living together. I think my mom wanted him to work on. My mom forces her husbands to like go into 12-step programs. And like, if you don't want to do it, you're not going to do mm-hmm. it. You can't like do that for somebody else. It just never works. So he was going to like AA meetings, but also drinking. My dad was in GA, but he's also gambling. So it's like she would force these people to do these things. And my mom also, if we got into a fight, she would also force me to apologize to her when I wasn't sorry. And I would say, I'm sorry, but I don't mean that. And she'd be like, okay. I had to apologize when I was not sorry for something. I just thought that was so weird.
That's a power thing for sure. You're going to say these words.
Like, I don't actually mean this though. Mm-hmm. So these guys would like be in these 12-step programs and still be like in their active addiction. So it's just interesting. It's just weird.
And then when you start dating, are you finding guys similar to that as well?
I mean,
you said you dated alcoholics, you knew right away.
I don't think, I mean, listen, when I was younger, I was also drinking too, so you don't really realize that. But I guess the older you get, I think after my dad died, I dated a guy that, I date a lot of people with PTSD. I think they're just drawn to dark, like dark humor. So it's like, I get a lot of people like that. You know, a 9/11 responder, a fireman, a vet, you know, like army veteran. So that guy was definitely an alcoholic. I mean, I've dated a couple of alcoholics. Everyone has something.
Everybody's got something.
Right. And it's usually like a combination of mental illness and addiction.
Mm-hmm. That's the damn truth. It sure is.
Have you dated any like alcoholics?
No one that was. Look, yes, there's a lot of. I had a therapist one time that told me if you're a guy who golfs every Saturday and you just drink on Saturdays, you're an alcoholic. And I was like, well, we have a different definition of what alcoholism
sure.
is. Okay, I get it. You're an addiction counselor, but I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody, and I've dated someone who had a DUI before, but they weren't, I wouldn't call them a daily drinker or anything like that. So I yes and no, I guess.
For me, it's like, I don't care if you're, because I was like talking to this guy and he was like, well, I don't see how my drinking affects us. He's like, I'm not like mean to you. And I'm like, no, you're actually like very emotionally open when you're drinking. It's when you're not drinking that you're like the most shut down and you don't see how that's affecting your, you're just looking at how it affects you when you're drinking. It's how it affects you when you're not drinking. So I think when I was younger too, I didn't even know like what emotional availability was. You know, you're just like dating someone because you think they're cute and you have fun with them. And then when you're older, you start seeing like what's everyone's stuff, what's everyone's red flags and stuff.
Yeah, I'm just learning about feelings.
I mean,
I didn't know I had them. Here's the thing with men though. No one has ever said to me, how are you feeling? It's always, how you doing? I'm good.
Right. Do you think it's different now? Like younger generations of men are like,
maybe
being taught to like talk about their feelings.
Yeah, and I think even the ladies too, you know, are bringing it to our attention. Like you don't express your feelings. Like I'm just going day by day. And then that I find out is a trauma response is that you don't have time for feelings. You're just getting up and getting your day done. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, sometimes there is like if you were to actually address all your feelings, don't you feel like you maybe wouldn't even leave your house?
Yeah.
Like if you had to sit with every one of your feelings.
In my own shit every day. I do it when it's necessary. I do my therapy. I do journaling. I do all that. But if you had to sit there all day long, you would be depressed. Everybody's
got
shit.
Everyone has shit. I think it's how you deal with it.
You sign up for something, you forget about it after the trial period ends, and then you're charged month after month after month. The subscriptions are there, but you're not using them. In fact, I just learned that 85% of people have at least one paid subscription going unused each month. Thanks to Rocket Money, I can see all my subscriptions in one place and cancel the ones I'm not using anymore. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you, sometimes by up to 20%. They automatically scan your bills to find opportunities to save. Then you can ask them to negotiate for you. They'll deal with customer service so you don't have to. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/honeydew today. That's rocketmoney.com/honeydew. rocketmoney.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the do.
But yeah, like emotional availability is not something I really even knew was a thing. You know, you know what's funny? I found like I was going through like stuff my mom was like throwing out and I found a letter to her where I was like, you hurt my feelings. And I was a child. And I'm like, I wonder who in my family like stopped that. It was like, let's put a pin in that. How about you pick this back up when you're 30?
Yeah.
Because I think kids are, well, they're pretty honest. So they'll talk about how they're feeling. It's like other people who are like suffocating those feelings. I remember my sister was upset about something and my dad was like, "You're not upset." And I was like, and I remember that because I was like, oh, that's like, you know not to be upset in front of dad. You know not to cry. If you cry, I'll give you something. Like, you know what I mean? That's kind of, you just realize like those things as a child. And like to me, again, trauma is like if you're getting beat up or you have to go to the hospital or you're getting assaulted. Like those are the things where I'm like, that's a bad childhood.
That's exactly what I thought. You're being, you know, abused. I would hear about kids getting beat so bad. They're going here. They're a juvenile hall and all this. And I'm like, oh, I must have had it pretty good.
Yeah.
Then you're like, I didn't have parents. I didn't. You know what I mean? Like, right. What the fuck is going on? Yeah. Where's your dark sense of humor come from? Where do you get it?
I mean, my family. I think my family has.
Is
a dark
everybody
sense.
Like that? Sort of like sort that dark of, humor.
But every so like, I had a friend from grammar school that killed himself. Talk about dark stuff. And all of us went to his funeral. I hadn't seen these people in 15, 20 years, maybe. And then we all went out to dinner, and we all had the darkest sense of humor. I was like, oh, this is where I got
I
it
see.
From.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's just everyone. I don't know, a lot of people in the Bronx, because like someone who would like describe my special as like dark. And then my friend who lived in the Bronx was like, it's not really dark to me. That's just kind of how our sense of humor is. I don't know if it's like being a New Yorker or where I grew up, but we kind of all had that same sense of humor. I don't know.
I love your specials. Great. I love your sense of humor. But we also grew up in a way where it was just ball busting. A lot of it is just shitting on someone, and now it's bullying. We're like, what are you talking about?
Right.
You know, this way of.
But that's the thing. Once you start addressing feelings and it's like all of this stuff is wrong.
And then you put this term like it's abusive. I'm like, I don't know. Is that really
abusive? I mean,
a lot of stuff is abuse these days, too. There's a lot of abuse. There's a lot on the spectrum. There's a lot of all this shit out there now. And there's a lot of people out there doing pop psychology off of fucking TikTok. There's a lot of that
for
bullshit
sure.
going on out there, too.
I like to read the TikToks and diagnose myself.
And misdiagnose yourself. Sure. You read long enough, you'll get AIDS.
You get everything. I mean? You're like, I think I have that.
Yeah, like, I've coughed twice today. I might have AIDS. Yeah.
Right.
I want to talk to you about something, too, because before the show we talked about you were engaged, never married. Mm-hmm. I also was as well. How long were you engaged? Tell me about this relationship and what happened.
I think it was my longest relationship, and it was one of my worst ones. Oh, so, like, he was a workaholic, and he had his own trauma, and we just together, like, it was just not good. And, like, anytime I tried to break up with him, he told me he's going to kill himself. And then I cheated on him. And then I was, you know, I remember when he called me when he found that I was cheating on him. And I was like, I might get hit. Like, I don't even know what's going to happen. I was like, but at least this is over.
You're saying even if you took the hit, then.
I was like, at least this relationship's over because I couldn't get out of it because he was always going to kill himself. And also, New York City is so expensive to live. We're basically living together because neither one of us could afford to live by ourselves. I remember going to the house and he was so calm, which freaked me out even more.
After finding out you cheated?
Yes. And it was more of an emotional thing. It wasn't like I fucked some dude. But like I remember him being so calm, which freaked me out more. And then like he just forgave me and we stayed together and got engaged.
Wait. This is before you got engaged. This is happening in the relationship.
This is
then you get engaged.
Then we get engaged. So things did get a little bit better for a bit. Like, you know.
Why'd you say yes to that?
To what?
Because you said this was more of an emotional thing than just some guy. So what made you say yes to him, your fiance?
Well, he asked me in Italy and we were staying with his family. So what am I going to do, say no and then be like, hey, are you?
He did it in front of everybody?
No, but we were staying with his family and like we left to go for my friend. He also told my friend and she told me he was going to ask me to marry. And I was like, ugh. So we're in Italy and he asked me to marry him. And like we're going back to his family's house. What am I going to do, say no and be like, hey, you're still going to pay for everything, right? Like we're going back to your all your family's there. It was just not a situation where I could. It's weird because I know when people get engaged, they're like so happy. And I was like, ugh.
Was there any part of you that thought we could make this work?
There were
Did you know 100%?
There were moments where things were good, but it was not a. It was not enough to be in a relationship together. I mean, we fought so bad. It was a bad relationship.
And how long were you engaged?
Maybe a year.
And who decided this isn't gonna? Who finally cut the cord?
I don't know, because like we were almost like codependent on each other at some point. Like the relationship itself wasn't good, but like because I had no family, it was almost like my family. So it was like the stability of that. I think like when we broke up, I was so upset, but I wasn't even in love with him. Do you know what I mean? It was more like. My whole stability is like collapsed now. And now I'm moving back with my mom and my stepfather at this time. And
how old are you?
I think 38, something like that.
And you moved back in with your mom?
Yeah, into the house. I think I lived there for 3 months because my sister got pregnant by a married guy and she ended up moving back in. It was all, it's like fucking chaos. Man. The whole thing.
Could you imagine also your mom and your dad are like, man, the girls are finally out of the house and here they both come back. So your sister, that happened the same time. So you're all back in the house together?
I think I moved in January. Mm-hmm. I think she moved in March and then I moved out by like May 1st. I mean, me and my sister, but my sister has no insight to any of her emotions at all. So like she's mad at everybody else, but like doesn't see her part in any of it. So she was mad that like she had a baby with this married guy. He didn't leave his wife. And now I'm also moving back in. I'm in the bigger room. So she's mad about that because she has this baby in the small room. And then I can come and go as I please because I don't have a fucking baby. So she's mad about that.
So she is she pregnant or she have the baby at this point?
She has a baby in March.
While you're there?
Yeah. I think she moved in April. We lived together like a month or so. It was crazy because she resorted back to the stuff she was doing when we were kids. Like she was timing how long I was in the shower. She'd be like, why are you taking a second shower? Like my sister's like a Nazi. It's so crazy.
Why are you taking a second shower? Why do you care?
I know. She'll be like, you're taking a second shower. Well, how come you're like, I was like depressed too because everything was just happening at once. So I'd be like sleeping during the day and then waking up and go doing my spots. And she's like, you just get up and leave whenever you want. It's like, I don't have a fucking baby. That's on you. But yeah, I lived with her for like a month. It was so bad.
And then where'd you head to?
Then I got my own place, yeah. And I've just been there for like eight years. But yeah, that was a rough time.
Do you want to get married?
I would like a partner. I don't necessarily need to be married. I do like my own space though. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I have lived with several boyfriends. I don't know if I could do it again. No, I definitely don't want kids.
Mm-mm. Have I'm you ever old. Wanted them?
I don't know. I was never like that girl that was like, I want to get married and have kids. Yeah. And then once I started doing stand-up, it's like, you're kind of too busy to have kids, you know, because you're like out every night. You know, there's a point where I had a full-time job and I'm doing comedy for like 13 years. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how am I having a baby? My ex-fiance, he wanted a kid. And when we went to therapy, my therapist was like, have a kid with him. I'm like, oh, no.
The therapist told you to.
Yeah. He was like, why don't you have, because he felt like it was important to him. And I was just like, no, I don't want to do that.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I think like me and my friend always talk about like if we had kids, we'd be good mothers, but I don't want to make sacrifices for it. You know what I mean? Like I just.
Yeah, I have a kid. I know.
I have a dog. It's hard doing.
It's
hard getting somebody to like watch my dog. And I just usually pay for it. It's like having a kid. It's like very expensive to have somebody watch your dog. That's why I actually need a boyfriend too, to just watch my dog.
Goes back to your mom's
way. Yeah, I am my mom's daughter.
Yeah,
I'm my mom's daughter. Just take care of my dog.
So when you move back in with your mom and then out, is that around pandemic time? When is that?
No, that was like 2017. Oh, okay. So I lived by myself for a couple of years and then the pandemic happened. I was dating another guy that was like an army veteran. He was insane.
So no comics for you. It's all other people who have different trauma.
I mean, I dated a comic when I first started. Mm-hmm. We were both new comics. That was the first army vet. And then when we broke up, he kind of just quit doing stand-up, which I thought was nice.
How do you meet army vets?
I don't know.
You said the first one. So is that a thing for you?
I think they're just drawn to me. It's not like I'm looking for it. It's just what is drawn to me.
So Nat, when you ask and they say, you're not even surprised anymore.
No.
Wow.
I'm not. It's funny because like doing the special, you get like messages from people, obviously. And somebody wrote to me, was like, oh, I thought you were attractive. And then like, I'm watching this and he's like, oh, I'm an army vet. This is why I like this girl. Like, it's just something about, like, I think too, veterans have like
a dark sense of humor.
Dark sense of humor. So
cops,
it's like.
Do you get cops?
Not really. I kind of.
Veteran.
That's
interesting.
It's a lot of veterans. Anyone with PTSD. I don't get a lot of cops though.
That's such an interesting thing. Veterans, huh?
Yeah, firemen. I think I wanted to date with a cop maybe one time or something. And he showed up to the Bronx and he had like 3 or 4 Long Island ICs and then drove back to Queens. I'm like, you're wrecked right now, which is crazy. But I do think a lot of cops do drink.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know what I would have to date at this point, but...
Do you like those guys?
I like aspects of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like anything. Like, I think my therapist that I've been with for a long time, he's like, you really need somebody you could work through problems with. Because then you see how that person, you can relate to one another. But that's the number one thing. I want somebody that I could like work through problems with. And not everything is like shutting down and, you know, fighting and arguing. Because I grew up with so much fighting too. So.
Same. I mean, we have. I remember my cousin's wife one time. She's like, you argue just like my husband, your cousin. I was like, yeah, it's how we grew up. A lot of times it starts with, hey, asshole. Most normal people are tuning out immediately. We turn around. You know what I mean? I'm like, what does this motherfucker got to say? This is.
Oh, yeah.
And I still think I was just telling my daughter this the other day because I took her to see Moana and she wanted to go see Wicked. I'm like, you can go see Wicked with your mom.
Right.
I don't like musicals. And I think it's the way I grew up. Like, I would seriously rather you yell at me and scream at me than sing the fucking information to me. And I don't care what you're saying.
Right.
I do not
musicals are not great.
I can't stand the information sung to me. Just yell at me.
Sure, yeah.
I'm okay with it. I grew up like that.
Even, like, with dating, I would prefer not to date someone that has kids.
You would?
Yeah. The last guy I
think ideally probably everybody really would, but.
Yeah. The last guy I did had kids and his kids were nice, but it's just like, I don't want to make sacrifices for someone else's kids. And I know it sounds like shitty, but it's just like, is it shitty? I'm just being honest. Like, if I was going to make these sacrifices, I would have just had my own.
Right. Yeah.
If somebody has older kids, that's fine. But like little kids now, I don't want to deal with that. I remember like going to his house. I think I had a show the night before and I got home super late. And then it's 7 o'clock in the morning. These kids are screaming. And you're like, oh, I don't want to deal with this. That's like, they're like young. That's going to be a long time. You can't just be like, hey, I'm sleeping because I have a dumb job where I'm getting home at 3 a.m. And that was the first time where I was like, oh, I don't want to do this. And they were nice kids. It has nothing to do with them.
How old were they?
They were young. When we first started dating, they were 4 and 6.
Yeah, that's.
And that's like, also, yeah, it's very young. I was just
very young.
And I guess by the time we broke up, they were 5 and 7. And they were sweet kids.
That's still young. That's kindergarten still for one.
It's too, if like, I think if your kid's home and I'm there and I have to make sure they don't die, I don't want to do it.
Listen, I don't blame you one bit for that.
I
don't think that makes you selfish or anything. Yeah, I get it. I would have had my own kid if I wanted to do that.
Yeah, I would have. And it's not like I'm bad to kids. I used to nanny too.
You did?
Yeah. And everyone's always shocked. I'm like, it's not like I'm going to put them in a garbage disposal.
Yeah.
But yeah, I prefer kids that are a bit older and like if I have to drive them somewhere, that's fine. But like, I don't know. I don't want to be the person that's like making lasting impressions on your kids. I'd rather them not have me in their head.
That's interesting. Just go
fill that with someone else from the library. Don't have me in there.
So during the pandemic, what happened?
During the pandemic,
you were dating this guy.
I was dating a different guy and he was like insane. He was an alcoholic. And like, you ever talk to someone and their personality changes and you're like, oh, you're insane.
On alcohol?
I don't know if he was even like drunk. He would just be like, you know, do like, oh, you can find someone better than me. I'm no good. There was a lot of that. But then like just a different personality where like he wanted to take everything from me. Like,
oh no.
If I was happy, he like, I think at that time I had done like The Degenerates on Netflix or something, and I had shown it to him, and he's like, I'm going to leak that. I'm going to, like, he would just be very spiteful. Like, it'd always be, you know, just say, I'm going to go fuck someone. I'm like, go ahead. I don't even care. Towards the end, he loved our dog, and he was like, we got into a fight, and he took a knife and my dog, and he goes, say goodbye to Peggy. And I go,
no.
And I go, bye, Peggy, because I knew he wasn't going to do that. Yeah. But I had had so much of it where I was like, bye, Peggy. I just like, I can't, you just hit a wall where you don't care anymore. And he didn't do anything, but he's the worst. Yeah.
He did nothing. Huh?
He did nothing. He was a lot of talk, but like, I just had reached a point where I was like, I don't care.
They ever threaten you? These guys ever get physical with you, or they just know better?
No, I think they know better. I've never had anyone like put their hands on me, because that wouldn't go well. Yeah. It's mostly emotional abuse. Actually, physical abuse would be preferable, I think. Emotional abuse, it's like you're just fucking with somebody's head, which is like the mental.
It lasts a long time. Punch me in the face.
Punch me in the face.
My eye will fucking heal up before it is just, memory of what you're putting in my head does. I'm
like
with you.
The mental gymnastics of like the games and shit, it's brutal. Ugh, yeah. Even now, like to try and date now, I'm like, me and my friend will just like go on dating sites and like it's almost like a game just swiping, but like you're not going to ever talk to these guys. It's just like a game.
I wonder about that too. Like, you know, Mr. Right or Mrs. Right could be in there, but you really would have to go through every one of these people like a job interview to find them.
Right. And everyone's just swiping like this, you know? So also think of how many people I might have not dated if I didn't get to know them first. You know, there's people so it's like you're not meeting these people, you don't know their personality. So, and everyone is just kind of set in their own ways now.
Big, well, at our age, for sure.
Yeah. So it's like, we're not going to change
somebody,
each other.
No.
Right. It's like, I'm not going to get an alcoholic to change now.
No.
Just be an alcoholic. Just we're not together. Like, that's fine. Just be an alcoholic and do what you're doing.
And we're not together.
We're just not together. Like, let's stop like dragging this out. And you can only have the same argument with somebody so many times where you're just like, I'm out. Over the summer, I got pantry moths, which has been probably worse than anything I've ever gone through in my whole life.
Pantry moths?
Yeah. It's worse than anything I've gone through in my whole fucking life. Forget my dad's. I mean, this really ruined my life for months.
I've had roaches like a motherfucker, but I've never had pantry moths.
So pantry moths, I never had them either. They come in your grain. So they come in your oatmeal, rice, I guess like lentils, maybe like bird feed,
dog food.
So you're
bringing them from the store?
Yes.
Oh, shit. They're not getting in from outside and attacking
stuff. No, no, no. They come in from like food, source. That ruined my whole fucking summer.
What happened? Do you know what it was, what you brought in?
I'm not sure, but I also had stuff in there from the pandemic, so I don't know, maybe something. I have no idea where it came from.
And do they breed like crazy? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah.
For 3 months, I was basically going from like my friend's house to a guy's house to my mom's house on the road. I was like this because I was like, I can't live here with this. My apartment got exterminated like 8 times. So what I was going to say is like not having my own space during that period, I was losing my mind. There were times I was going to a hotel and spending $1,300 for 5 days just to like not be with my mom. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I understand wanting to like just go be by yourself and decompress. That was like the worst time for me. So I guess I don't realize how much I just want to also like decompress, be by myself. Especially like you're on the road, you're traveling, you're doing all this stuff. So yeah,
I get it too. You're seeing all these people and, you know.
Do you do like meet and greets after?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you're talking more.
Mm-hmm. And meeting each person and, you know, having a real moment with them and stuff too. And you're doing that for 2 or 4 shows or whatever you're doing that weekend. And then when I come home, I don't want to fucking talk to anybody. And also, I just met good people. You know what I mean? People I would want to talk to, not just some rando drunk that's coming over to bitch about whatever's going on.
Right,
we've got a real connection.
You have
here.
A common interest, yeah.
So that's what's really nice. It's like going to meet friends on the road and then you go and I'm done. All right, this is really fun. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
I want to ask you, I told you before, advice you would give to your 16-year-old self, and I really want to hear it.
I would say my advice to my 16-year-old self is like, this is the best it's ever going to be. Don't.
That's crazy.
It's all downhill from here. This is the best it's ever going to be. 16. Yeah.
Why? What's happening at 16?
I don't know. It was just the best time. Like, it was 1994. It was like the best music. Like, you don't really have any responsibilities. You're hanging out with your friends every day. Like, I guess as a kid, you forget you're not going to hang out with your friends every single day when you get older. Like, you just kind of take that for granted. And then my dad died, what, a couple years later. So it was like, that was just like the most carefree time of my life.
I see.
Yeah. It was just the most fun. I don't know. I've had other good years too, but like, that was a good year.
That's funny. That's good though.
Is it?
Yeah. Promote whatever, again, your special,
oh, guys,
all that, please.
Go watch The Dark Queen on Netflix. Go buy merch. I have, I met the Clintons and I have a joke about it. And I have a picture of me with them and it just says, I met the Clintons and love to talk about it. I hope we sell enough shirts that like they get mad.
Have they said anything yet?
No, because it's not like big enough. I'd like to get the Clintons upset. See me on the road. I have a lot of dates coming up. I'm going to be touring with Ari Shaffir a bit and then probably Louis towards the end of the year, but I'm doing my own headlining dates also. So just go check me out, adrianappalucci.com.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks for having
me. A lot of fun. As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media, ryansickler.com. Come see me on the road. Tickets are on my website. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.